We're joined in studio now by John McCann, LSU stalwart in the late 1960s, head coach at McNeese State 1981 to 85, and a guy who is following the Tigers, as most people in Louisiana are. And LSU has a big date Saturday at Austin, Texas. 4-point favorites are the Tigers after a 55-3 blasting of Georgia Southern. It was an impressive opener, wasn't it?
It was very impressive. We all know that the competition is going to get tougher much quicker. But in first ball games, you look for execution, lack of penalties, sloppy play, and we had none of that. The offense executed very, very well in this new scheme there, Roy.
Before me, I have the 1967 LSU media guide. John McCann was a sophomore just joining the varsity. Freshmen were not eligible in those days, and he was an offensive guard. He was 6'1", 200 pounds. 6'1", 200 pounds. I looked the other night on the flip card. LSU had 18 players, 300 pounds or more, including a 354-pound freshman. And several players in the 290s. So what's happened to the game, John McCann?
It's survival of the fittest. It's almost like evolution.
Or the fattest.
Well, that too, but some we have dietitians and nutrition places now. We don't have cafeterias. But it's all very scientific, and the evolution of the game, the biggest change in the game of football, I always attest to, is the change in the pass protection rules. When they said you could turn your hands toward the defender and block them on pass protection, it led to a training and breeding and the application of those techniques and weight programs. And, of course, health, our nutrition is much better in modern days, and kids just start getting bigger and bigger.
Well, in the old days, LSU and other universities had the requirement to play both ways, and if you were playing both ways, you couldn't weigh 300 and some odd pounds because you couldn't make it through a game. But the times are different. There are specialists, and these guys are huge, and in many cases they're meant to be huge, to take up space. But to show how the game has changed in 52 years, 6'1", 200-pound sophomore John McCann, who ended up becoming a star offensive guard on some of the best teams in LSU history. It says, all-district selection at Catholic High, where he earned three letters, one as a 14-year-old sophomore. Was there any doubt you would go to LSU?
None. I was offered to go to UMass, Mississippi State. I had a visit to Texas A&M lined up, which I did not take. But I was euphoric. I was in New Orleans. I got a call on a Saturday morning asking if I wanted to come be on the sideline at the Alabama-LSU game. So I drove quickly back to town.
And you played on some great teams in the late 60s. In 1969, LSU lost only one game, 26-23 in Jackson to Archie Manning and Ole Miss, a team that could have won the national championship. And I think most observers believe the current team, if everything goes right and everything has to, could win the national championship.
I think they have a shot. They certainly have. I think we have more depth in offense and defensive lines than we've had. Obviously, we have a more prolific offense that's going to score a lot more points than LSU fans are used to.
Well, John McCann looks great, and if you do the math, if he was 17 in 1967, that would make him 69. That can't be
70.
70.
That was a December baby.
70 years old. He looks fabulous, and you have taken care of yourself and show no signs of the head trauma that was a part of the deal in those days. The helmets were rather primitive, but many of your comrades haven't fared as well as you.
No, we know some guys that we played with who are having physical difficulties, had various surgeries for knees and hips and shoulders and some other issues. There are two LSU quarterbacks that passed away over the years. Some doubt.
Nelson Stokley being
Nelson
one of,
yeah. And Buddy Lee from Zachary.
Buddy Lee as well.
Yeah.
A teammate of yours. That's Nelson great. Was as well.
Yeah.
Both of them had dementia.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Buddy Lee was the quarterback along with Burt Jones on the 1970 team that won an SEC title. And Steve Insminger was quarterback when I was in school. We're the same age. He's now the offensive coordinator, and he was your offensive coordinator at McNeese for a while.
He was, and I coached. Was fortunate enough to be on the coaching staff at Central High School in 1973 when he played quarterback for us, and coached him for 3 years at Central. And when people ask about Steve or ask about Coach O or Bill Johnson, who I also know, Steve's in a special category for us. It's more like family.
He could throw the ball.
Yes, he could. He was a good athlete.
He was very good, and many thought he would play in the NFL. That did not happen, but he had a rocket arm, and now he's got a quarterback with a pretty good arm, and Joe Burrow, a five-year senior. LSU won championships in 2003 and in 2007 with five-year seniors Matt Mauch and Matt Flynn. And now Joe Burrow is trying to do the same. And we'll talk more with John McCain about this. If you'd like to join us, 877-217-5757, back in short order. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and our guest is John McCain. He was head coach at McNeese in the early 1980s, had some great teams and great players with the likes of Buford Jordan, Simon Jordan. And he is now living in Baton Rouge, his hometown, with his wife, Nanette, who is the principal at Baton Rouge High and at Lee. And they're
just Baton Rouge High now.
Not just Baton Rouge High. She was for both for a while, though. And she has been named National Principal of the Year, national, at least one time.
Right.
And John McCain is an avid LSU follower all these years later. And we were talking about a half century since he was playing for the Tigers. But he has unique connections to this team. I mentioned that Steve Insminger was his offensive coordinator at McNeese. You also had, I think, a graduate assistant named Ed Ogeron.
Yes, we did. I had hired Bill Johnson as defensive line coach, and Bill came to me one day and said, I got a guy you need to talk to. I said, for what? And he said, well, he's going to be a good coach. He's just getting started. He's from down to Bayou, and he's going to be a good guy to have. And so I interviewed him and hired him as a graduate assistant coach.
He was going by a nickname in those days.
What everybody knew him as, Bebe.
Bebe, Bebe. And what a character. His former coach at Northwestern, Sam Goodwin, said that when Goodwin, took the job, he was told his first assignment was to kick Bebe off the team, but ultimately he kept him around. He got his degree, and the rest, they say, is history. Here he is at the age of 58, a late bloomer, but he's got a great team. And in the early 1980s, what kind of a fellow was he?
Like a lot of young people, especially young people from the southern part of the state, the Cajun heritage down there. Bebe loves life. He attacks everything 100%. And he is very gregarious, fun-loving, full of energy, like a bull in his china closet in some things. But he's got a big heart. And all that passion and dedication and hard work, we're being able to observe it now in his position at LSU. I can't be happier that it's him. I think it's a perfect fit.
Well, when he got the job at LSU in 2016, I talked with Sam Goodwin and on the air. And Sam said that his senior year, Ogeron's senior year at Northwestern, they were playing Louisiana Tech, I believe, and there was a goal line stand, fourth down, and it's like fourth and inches, and Bebe standing on the line saying, run it at me, I dare you, run it at me, and they did, and he stopped them.
Yeah.
So he's a competitor.
Yes, he is. He takes all comers, and he wants it done right, and I told people when he got here that you'll not see a lack of effort on anybody's part while he's coaching.
Well, last year when the LSU played Alabama, I went to the Crown. Well, it's at the Marriott where the Alabama team stays. That's Saban's hotel of choice. And as they're getting on the bus, you can hear a pin drop. It's all business, and nobody says a word because they know he is watching, the 5'6" head coach who's a giant despite his stature. And then when the LSU team gets off the bus coming, Bebe is shaking his fist and yelling and screaming. He looked like a caged animal.
Yeah. Can't mask his enthusiasm.
Which kind of coach were you? Were you closer to Saban or to Orgeron?
I was a little more stoic than
more like Saban.
Than Coach Orgeron. The culture I was brought up in with Charlie McClendon, it was more business, and we tried to stay focused. We thought in those days outbursts of that type kind of made you believe maybe somebody wasn't ready to play and we're serious enough.
Well, you don't want to leave it
right
before the game, and you use up a lot of energy when you do that kind of thing. But
true.
But Coach O is an intense guy, and his players reflect that, and he's a great recruiter. There's no doubt about that. And in these days, you got to have the players, and he has done a fabulous job assembling a roster of all-stars.
I just read this morning we've got a commitment in 2022, first one. So he's way out there working.
He's out there, but LSU's lost to Alabama 8 straight times, and Coach O is now 0-3 against Coach Saban. And Saban's a guy who lost 8 assistant coaches, and his team is still a contender for the national title. How does he do it? He's obviously a difficult man to work for, runs people off, and he just keeps on winning.
He's had several defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators, but he maintains the standard. He sets the tempo. When he was here at LSU, my daughter was working in the football office, and he walked in one morning. He wanted to speak to the custodian of the building because there was a piece of paper on the carpet. but that permeates the whole organization, and he's intense and persistent.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And a listener notes that Louisiana Tech lost in a big way to Texas in its opener at Austin. But the Tech did throw for 340 yards. Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, had 5 touchdown passes. That's a school record, ties a record. In the first half, LSU is, unlike previous years, looks like it's going to be throwing the ball quite a lot.
It looks that way, and I know the fans are happy about it, and to see that come to fruition after being hearing about it for quite a while.
Well, in your day, 5 touchdowns by a quarterback, sometimes they go through a whole season without throwing 5 touchdowns and still be a very good quarterback. The game was significantly different.
Yeah, we did average 31 or 32 points a game that year. 67, we went to the first Peach Bowl.
And that was the year. That was 68.
That's right. It was the 68 Peach Bowl, the first Peach Bowl, and played Florida State.
31-27.
Yeah, and in the rain, and one ex-LSU coach was the head coach, and Bill Peterson.
That's right. He went to.
But we moved the ball Houston. Pretty good. The spring before, when we were playing against our great defense, we couldn't score a touchdown in practice, and when we would start in normal field position.
And a left-hander named Mike Hillman, who was the quarterback.
Yep.
Now, LSU and Texas don't play each other very much, and the last time LSU won was the 1963 Cotton Bowl, 13-0. The quarterbacks were Jimmy Field and Lynn Amity. I saw Jimmy Field yesterday at DeJulio's. He looks fabulous. He's 79 years old, and his grandson is John Gordon McKernan, who's a walk-on and listed on the roster. Went to
UI.
You went to
Catholic
High.
Yeah.
Had some good teams, didn't you?
Not while I was at Catholic High. We struggled. We win that the top class then was 3A. We win the same district with Terrebonne, Bogalusa, Struma, Baton Rouge High, Glen Oaks, and Broadmoor. My senior year, Broadmoor beat us 20-0 at Memorial Stadium. We had to start the game early because one of our friends, one hurricane, was coming up the river, and we played it early, and the wind blew so hard, we punted a ball, and it did not cross the line of scrimmage. And they won the state championship that year.
Well, you mentioned you coached Steve Insminger in high school, and he started some as a freshman at LSU, and he shared time through his 4 years with David Woodley. They came in together. They left together. Woodley ended up being the quarterback of the Dolphins between the eras of Bob Greasy and Dan Marino. He was very good as well, obviously, and two very talented guys, but in those days, it was largely a running operation. The tailback was the premier person on the offense, and they had a great one in Charles Alexander. But in high school, how good was Steve Ensminger?
Steve was very good. He was a good basketball player. He could have gone to college to play basketball. He started as a sophomore for us at quarterback. We made the playoffs that year. It was the first time Central had been in the playoffs in 11 or 12 years. He very, very good competitor. He started all 3 years for us, made the playoffs every year, and we were one game short of going to the state championship 1 year when we lost to Rain at Rain. And that was
Rain.
Yeah, and it did not rain, but we lost. It didn't rain on the plane, but we lost the game, and that was a heartbreaking loss.
Well, LSU, to be a football factory, has not produced that many coaches, and one of the most successful is John McCann, the guy sitting across the board from me, and he was head coach at McNeese in the early 1980s and played for Charles McClendon. What do you recall about Coach Mack?
Mack is one of the American standards. His word was as good as gold. Sometimes you didn't like the word, but when he told you something, you could take it to the bank. He's a good man, strong, old school, and he was all about what was best for the football team. And he always said, "You need to be good to our boys." And his lovely wife, Dorothy Fay, I could echo those sentiments all the time.
We won 70% of his games, but I've said last week I think his greatest legacy are the players who played for him. Not many were coaches, but a lot of them were doctors and lawyers and successful business people. He's got a great legacy there, and it's apparent when it's a who's who of this community, people who played football for Charlie McClendon.
Yep. It's always great to see ex-players. He did a wonderful job.
And, you know, Charlie McClendon, as a player at Kentucky, won a national title. And he won a national title as an assistant under Paul Dietzel. And he's the only LSU coach to be named head coach and having won two national titles. And then his first year was 1962, the year that LSU beat, as a head coach, the year LSU beat Texas. In this rating service, then Berryman actually named LSU the national championship in 1962, national champions. A championship that LSU does not claim, but perhaps should. And who's going to win Saturday?
Tigers.
Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Tigers favored by 4 over Texas. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Thanks, Coach. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned.